Start in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. It's a passage you're probably familiar with, but I'm just going to read just this one verse. Matthew 4:4. Is it Matthew 4? Yeah. Matthew 4:4. This is Jesus speaking. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We don't live by food, by material food alone, right? We were created to depend on the Word of God. We are spiritual beings. God is spirit, and He has spoken to us through His Holy Spirit. He has given us the written scriptures, the Bible, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Every word of this book is God-breathed. God inspired. It is holy. It is perfect. And thank God for it. But we were meant to live by this. Man was not meant to live by food alone. Yeah, for our physical bodies, we do need to eat. But for our spiritual life and nourishment, we have to have spiritual food, which is this Word of God. And as I've spoken, the Word was made flesh. Jesus is the Word. He is the manna that came down from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in the Old Testament, they had manna that just appeared. It just came down from the sky because they were traveling through a desert and had no way to get provisions and get food and so forth. And so God just made food come down from the sky, and they were able to eat all they needed. Hallelujah. And so that was only a type or a symbol of the reality that we have the Word of God. This came from heaven. It is the only book that is purely a book from heaven. And it came down. It is the Word of God. What is word? Well, a word is an expression of a thought. God thought some things and then put it into spoken words. And so over the last several thousand years, we have had spoken words put down into written words, which we know as our scripture, the Holy Bible. And so we have this word from heaven. You know, God speaks. It's called a rhema word, and I'll get into it in just a little bit. But God speaks, and then we hear that word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. And so by faith, we hear what God said. We all hopefully have heard that wonderful gospel that Jesus died on the cross, took our sins on that cross, and rose again the third day. And if you haven't heard that gospel, that's what happened. And if you believe it and receive it and repent from your sins, you can be saved. But we heard that gospel, and we heard it, and our faith responded and says, "Yes, I believe that's true. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, that is true." And so we respond, and then that becomes our belief system. That becomes really, that changes us. Of course, when we get saved, that literally changes everything about us. We go from death to life. We go from being in Adam to being in Christ. That all came from a word from heaven. So the Word of God is powerful, sharp, powerful. You know, we understand all things were created by the Word of God. Our words are like, you know, they're not that great. We don't keep our word sometimes. We can say something and say, "Yeah, I'll be there," and then not show up. And I'll do that, but we don't, right? But God always keeps His word. If He says something, it's an absolute certainty. He's one with His word, and He's going to make it come to pass. He watches over His word to make it come to pass. He's not like us. He cannot lie. So when He says something, it becomes absolute truth. I like to illustrate it this way. If today is Sunday, and it is, and He says today is Monday, well, suddenly it's Monday because He just said it. Therefore it is. He creates reality with His word. That's what I'm trying to say. He literally created all things we know from the Word of God. And so I want to put an emphasis on the Word. And in particular, I want to title the sermon, "What Does the Word Say?" What does the Word say? We, as Christians, We can get into the habit of relying on experiences to make the decisions we make in life. Maybe we're facing problems. We says, well, I've been through that before. I know what to do. We're facing trials. We're facing tribulations. Well, you know, I think I got some knowledge. This person said this and that person said that. And I think I'm going to do this. Instead of asking the question, what does the Word say? What does the Word say about the situation? I think you'd be surprised to know that the Word says a whole lot about anything we're facing in life. Maybe not the specifics, but in general terms, we have principles that will cover every problem you face in life. Every situation you face in life, there's something in the Word that can help you. Everything. So we have to get into the habit of saying, all right, I have some decisions to make. I got some problems, or I'm dealing with this or that. Go back to the question, what does the Word say about this? And in this day and age, we have the capacity to do word searches. We have the Word in digital form so we can search the Bible. You don't have to memorize the whole book. We have a computer now that says, hey, you can search up the word gospel and find everywhere the word gospel is in the Bible with a computer search. You can Google search, or there's software you can download on your computer. You can do it right on your phone right now, immediately, and search for. So we have the ability now to look into the Bible, and if I'm having a problem, I can search for that problem in the Bible. Well, what does this word say about sickness? What does the word say about marriage? What does the word say about dealing with relationships or children or finances or problems at work? Or there's principles that we can find in the Scripture. And so we have to be in the habit of not just showing up on a Sunday morning. That's not good enough. You're not going to make it if you just hear a sermon for 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. You have to be in the Word yourself every single day. It has to become a part of who you are. It's assimilation. There's an assimilation that takes place. And that's why it's called the manna from heaven, the Word of God. Because when you eat something, you understand it literally becomes part of your body. The molecules in the food literally become you. Your body breaks, you know, you understand that, right? And so the same concept is true. We feed on this word from heaven, and it becomes a part of who we are. It's what we call becoming a part of our belief system, is what I'm going to say. As I said earlier, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith is another word for belief. So our belief system is developed on the foundation, or it should be, of Scripture, of the Holy Written Word, the Bible. And so we get in this Word, and we face challenges, and now we have an anchor for the soul when the problems come. Now, if we know the Scriptures, and again, we don't have an excuse, we can always go look it up. If we know the Scriptures, or take the time to go look it up, if the Word is the priority in our life, we'll go take the time to look it up. Now we've got an anchor that'll hold us no matter how bad things get. So I'm going to get into trying to develop in us a habit. Always ask the question, what does the Word say in my situation or what I'm hearing? We'll hear things. We'll hear things even from the pulpit, or now we have YouTube, we have Facebook, we got people preaching what they say is the Bible or the Word, and we need to challenge that and be critically thinking, is that really in Scripture? Our generation has not been taught to think critically. What does think critically mean? It means don't just accept it just because somebody said it. Don't just read the headlines and say that must be true because it's in the news article. Don't just read it on Facebook and say, well, that must be true because they sound like they know what they're talking about. They might even quote some scriptures. But have you checked it up? Did they quote it correctly? And more importantly, a lot of times they will quote it correctly, but this is where they get it wrong, is they interpret it incorrectly. And so it's not just a matter of, oh, this is someone that's a preacher, that's a pastor, that wrote a book, that has a ministry, that has a television ministry, or has a YouTube channel, or has a Facebook page, whatever the thing is. We have to think critically and question everything. You know, part of thinking critically is not just believing assumptions. You know, they'll make assumptions, and we need to be careful of the assumptions that people impose on the Word and say, okay, let's see what the Scripture says. It's important to know some things, particularly, you know, we have so much. There's 8 billion people on the planet today, roughly, you know, 8 billion people. And I think most of them have cell phones and YouTube and Facebook, so they can all talk to their phones and spread their message all around the world. 8 billion people can talk. That's a lot of noise. That's a lot of potential for error. And so my point is, we live in a day of great deception. And if you don't know your Scripture, there's many voices out there that'll pull you away from the Word. So many voices are vying for your attention, saying, listen to me, listen to me. And it does sound good at first. It does sound appetizing. It even sounds like Scripture, but it's not. And so it's going to be harder and harder as the days get darker, as the lies become more pronounced and or more spread, I should say, to discern. I'm afraid the church doesn't discern, because they think they know the Bible because they show up on Sunday morning and go to church, and they don't. You cannot know the Bible just by showing up on a Sunday morning. You are to come and assemble, and the Bible says to do that, absolutely. But it's more critical that you get in the Bible for yourself and read it. I suggest reading it every single day. I've been studying the Bible myself every day for 35 years, okay? And I still know so very little. I am just beginning to understand some things. So we need to be students of God's Word, because there's so many lies out there. There's so many things that are being spread now. And if we're not anchored in the Word, we will fall for it. We think, oh yeah, I know the Bible because I the pastor taught me. No, you need to know the Bible because you know where it is in Scripture. Somebody says something, well, go find it in Scripture. Where is it in Scripture? Well, I don't know where it is. Well, go find it. Then read it. Then say, is that really there that person is saying? This website is saying this or that, you know. Is the Scripture actually quoted correctly? And is it interpreted correctly? Hallelujah. Do you know the Word? Always ask the question, what does the Word say? You know, Paul was grieved. You know, he was leaving, I think it was Ephesus, and he said, there's grievous wolves coming in, and they're not going to spare the flock. That was 2,000 years ago. So we have 2,000 years more wolves that we are fighting as a church, as a church body. False doctrines. He says, this is in Acts 20, they are grievous wolves that are going to enter in among you. In other words, they're coming into the churches. We can expect attacks from outside the church, but he's talking about those in the church. They're going to come in and spread false doctrines, not sparing the flock. Of your own selves, they're coming from within. You hear that? Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. And so he says, I cease not to pray for you night and day with tears, warning you this is coming. That was 2,000 years ago. And so we see so many that have fallen away. There's so many now, more than ever before, that would call themselves Christians, but have fallen away from the faith. And they're still going to church, having church, believing in, I mean, you got a full spectrum. You got those to the far crazy end, which are not Christians at all, that believe in liberal theology. It basically says, you know what, it doesn't really matter what the Bible says. It only matters how I feel about it, what I think it should say, and so I'm free to be, you know, what, and they have, you know, homosexual pastors and marriages, and they just, it doesn't matter. You can kind of believe whatever you want to believe. It's the same mentality of the world. And so we need to be aware of the wolves that have come in. We need to think critically, you know, recognize when you're reading something, maybe online, Who are you reading from? That becomes important. Okay, are they Jehovah's Witnesses? Are they one of the cults like Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons? They're not going to tell you that they're a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. They're going to spread their doctrines without telling you what they are. Or they could be something else. They could be like a Catholic. You know, they could be Calvinist. They could be people that rightly divide the word of truth. What are they? Just find out what they are. That'll help you understand. Because when they use words, they'll use Christian words, and you'll think they mean one thing, but they have something completely different. When they're saying the word, they mean a different meaning of the word than what you're thinking. But it sounds right. It sounds Christian. My point is, we need to be careful and think critically, not just accept everything, but it always goes back to, you don't have to know all the Catholic doctrines and Christian or Jehovah's Witness doctrines and all these things. You don't have to learn about all the cults and their doctrines. The only thing you really need to know is, what does the Bible say? What does the Word say of whatever they're teaching? You know, there's a lot of these will have some nuggets of truth. There's some truths in all of them. See, the devil doesn't just give you lies, lies, lies. I mean, he's always got to bring some truth and slip in a lie here and there. You know, there has to be some meat to put the poison on. And so there can be a great amount of truth. I think of my own life. You know, I've studied the Bible for 35 years, roughly. And, you know, I've believed some things that weren't true. Or let's put it this way. I followed someone that was teaching a grace doctrine. And it was almost entirely true what they said, like 99% of the time. It was awesome. It was a good word. But there was this one thing that they said that made me question everything. Once I heard them say something, and this is, you know, hyper, what some might call hyper grace, and I call it hyper grace, which basically they said, you know what, the Christians cannot sin. Well, if you think that all the way through, if a Christian cannot sin, then that means I can do anything I want because I can't sin. And so they would dismiss the passages that say, First John 1:9, if you sin, which means we can sin, if you sin, confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. But they would just basically mark that verse out of the Bible and say, that's not for us. That's dangerous. Anybody that's saying that verse is not for you in the New Testament, that's a problem. Okay? But there's hyper grace out there like that. It's very prevalent right now. It's one of the false doctrines that are going on. Grace is true, but hyper-grace, which says, hey, you know what? There's another version. It says this, you know what? The blood of Jesus has cleansed you from sin, therefore you can do whatever you want. It's cleansed you. You can do anything. You ever heard that one? That's a type of hyper-grace that we need to be careful of. We need to be very careful. Anybody that's saying you can just go on and sin and it doesn't matter, that's not Bible. Show me the scripture. What does the word say about that? You know, we always have to get in the habit. What does the Bible say? Go back to the scripture. So we need to become familiar with the scripture, which of course means reading our Bibles. Ephesians 6:16. I'm going to show you something that you've probably never seen before. You ever heard of the shield of faith? Well, if our belief system is based on the word of God, we believe what we believe because we heard the word of God, we read the scriptures, and that formed our beliefs, then read this verse with me and think through with me what this means. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, that means this is the big one, right? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith allows us to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, most of us think about that is like, oh yeah, you know, the shield of faith, we're going to face trials and the devil's going to throw stuff at us and this shield of faith is going to quench everything. But let me break it down to you in more practical terms. What is he talking about? Primarily, I believe this means lies. The shield of faith prevents us from believing lies. If your foundation is the word of God, when a lie pops up, that shield of faith is going to say, hey, that wasn't true. Someone says something from the pulpit or in a book or online, that because you were grounded in this, in the scriptures, the word of God, that shield of faith says that was a lie. Bink, in it. You don't believe it because you know it was a lie. It just bounces off of you. I believe that's the practical application of the shield of faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Our belief system should be founded on the word of God. And so every time somebody throws a lie at me, I'm not going to believe it because I said, no, I know that that's not true because the scripture says this or the scripture says that. I can go back to the scripture. And this is the really important part. If I'm not sure, go study it out. Because, you know what, I also have to be humble enough to say, hey, maybe they got something there. I'm not really sure about that one. I'm not sure one way or the other. Now, that's incentive for me to go study out. Okay, what does the Bible say about this? And so I go find the scripture and make sure they quoted it correctly and then make sure they interpreted it correctly, right? But that's part of the shield of faith. In other words, it's a belief system that you now have if you're someone that is a student of the word. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. So that we are all to be students of the word, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's possible to wrongly divide and rightly divide. But we also have to be on we have to put the word first, that it is the priority, which means, hey, maybe that person said something that's true. I'm not real sure. I'm going to go study it out. Oh my goodness, it is true. That's something I've never seen before. So we have to be also humble enough to say the word comes first. If I see it in the word now, I have permission to believe it. And I should believe it because it's in the word. Rightly dividing the word. Now we have to be humble enough to say, hey, you know what? I didn't know that. Thanks for showing that to me. That's kind of cool, right? It's always good to see revelation on the word. But my point is thinking critically too. Don't just swallow and follow. Don't just believe it just because somebody said it or put it on the internet or has a YouTube channel, right? Go to the word. What does the word say? Always ask the question, what does the word say? And when we put the word of God as our priority, when it is first, then we'll be humble enough to say, yep, that's what the word says. I'm going to believe that. You know, I've had to do that with some things where I've had to make major changes in my belief from, you know, some things that I picked up in my earlier Christianity that I had to kick out. And when you're young, you don't know any, young in the Lord, you don't know any better. You just kind of believe everything at first, and you shouldn't, but we do have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Helper that gives us understanding. But nonetheless, I picked up some things, and so I had to be humble enough to say, hey, you know what? I was taught wrong. I see the Scripture says this. I'm going with the Scripture. We have to be humble enough to not think I know it all, right? We always have to be students of the Word, learners of the Word. So that obviously means I have to keep growing and keep learning. It doesn't mean I know it all, right? But at the same time, we have to, as we say today, think critically, examine, are they telling the truth? Study, rightly dividing the word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, I'm just going to go right to verse 16, all scripture, not some, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed, it's perfect, and is profitable for doctrine. That means teaching, okay? For reproof, and that's what I'm talking about, is reproving. Sometimes we need to reprove ourselves and say, you know what, I've been doing some wrong things. The Word says not to do that, and we need to correct ourselves, judge ourselves, so that we be not judged. For correction, that means correcting our actions, but also correcting our beliefs. When I find something in the scripture that I've been believing wrong, I don't say, nah, I think this is right anyway, right?